message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
It's more than bad, it's evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of bad? No, it's the root of all kinds of evil. Decisions have been made concerning a number of things. We'll just point out one, I believe the one at the top of the list, concerning abortion. And those decisions just aren't bad, they are evil. So we also, like the writer of Ephesians, Paul, we also live in days that are evil. We also need to make the most of every opportunity we have. And part of that is making sure that we live in wisdom and avoid being unwise, or we're not going to grab hold of all the opportunities. I want to title this message, Intentional Living. Intentional living versus reactive living. Intentional living is making certain things happen. Reactional living is whatever happens, happens, and I just respond to that. See, it's easy to fall into the trap of just thinking that things are going to work out without you taking the necessary steps to help things work out. It'll work out. It always does. Anybody know somebody like that? It'll work out. Don't worry. It always does. You know, a lot of times it does. But often things don't work out if you don't help it work out by doing your part. See, we want certain results, but we don't want to pay the price to get the results we want. I'll just talk to me. I want certain results, but I don't always want to do the necessary things to get the results that I want. So I'm going to preach this for me, and if you want to eavesdrop, you can. See, I want to be healthy and in shape, but I don't want to eat right and exercise. Anybody else there? You know, after lunch today, I'm going to stop eating these chips. But they ordered, I was going to stop eating chips today, but they ordered queso. Salsa and chips, I can let that go, but queso, come on. We want to be strong in faith, but we don't want to pray and read the Bible too much. Kids want what their parents have. They just don't want to do what their parents did to get it. So I threw that in for you because I knew that health thing was working on you and I wanted to give you something you could amen about. I want everybody to be able to amen something. I'd like to be able to speak Spanish. Will somebody pray for me? Because I certainly don't want to do a course. It's always been my philosophy, if God would have made it to where you could learn the language by eating their food, how many of y'all be pretty fluent in Spanish? As followers of Jesus, we have to be intentional in our living. See, we're called for such a time as this. We're here on purpose. And we can enjoy life, and you can play some video games, and you can watch a movie, and you can do this. That's part of living life, but you can't just squander your life. We have to be intentional in the way that we live life as followers of Jesus. So let me give you just a few examples of intentional versus reactive. Let's talk about worship. We had a good time of worship this morning. It was good from over there at the piano. I think it was pretty good out here. Intentional worship is entering in with praise because he's God. It's entering his courts with praise and thanksgiving because he's on the throne and because he's in control. Things may not be going well with you, but you still enter in with the intention to worship, because it's not about where you are, it's about who he is and the fact that he's in control and he loves you, so we worship anyway. Reactional or reactive worship is waiting until you feel something and then respond. You sit there like Bernie, which had some mittens, and then when you start to feel it, you might enter in. You know what, better late than never, right? But at the same time, as followers of Jesus, let's grow in this area and let's be intentional in our worship. When it comes to giving, intentional giving is putting God first with the tithe and being on purpose with the way you spend your money, making the necessary adjustments in order to do that. Reactive giving, you know what it is, Take care of everything else first. See if there's anything left over. And then we will respond with something. When it comes to your spiritual life, intentional would be giving time to prayer, time to the Word, and the things of God, the daily disciplines, the spiritual holy habits. To be reactive in your spiritual life, just go to church now and then. Can I just say this without it being judgmental? There are people that aren't in church right now that do not need to be in church right now. There are also people not in church right now that have, through the COVID experience, established the new habit of not going to church. One of the hardest things to do is to get a new habit going. I can't tell you over my time here the number of people that I've ran into that have been absent for a while, and they say, yeah, I got to get back. You know, I think we're going to come next Sunday. And then they don't come. In fact, it's happened so much that I just go, okay, right. And I don't even have any faith. So we'll see. Prove it. And what it is, it's just easy. Since you don't have a string of attendance record, you know, you don't have a number of consecutive Sundays in a row that you've been there, that habit's not established. And since you've been gone so long, and oh, this came up, I'll start next Sunday. And it's just easy for next Sunday to never get there. And I'm talking to some who should be here. It's not time for you to come back. I get that. But for some, and you know who you are, you need to be intentional about church attendance. Reactive is, well, if nothing's going on Sunday, we might go to church. If I wake up and I'm not too tired, we might go to church. Now, can I tell you a conversation we never had at our house? Saturday night, we never had this conversation. Hey, we're going to church tomorrow? You know, a lot of church people have that conversation. Hey, honey, we going to church tomorrow? Well, I was thinking about it. Well, you know, we've been twice in a row. We need to be intentional. Not just reactive. I just go now and then when I feel like it, if it's good. Well, I didn't sleep a whole lot. I only got like 5.5 hours. Man, I wish I could get 5.5 hours on a Saturday night. Saturday nights are not my fun night. I don't know. It's just whatever. We need to be intentional in our spiritual life. When it comes to your children, intentional is train them up in the way they should go. Reactive is to have no boundaries, no standards, give them plenty of freedom and hope for the best. Try to come in at a decent hour. Now, I know as kids get older, I understand that. I don't have time to go into the room of how to train our children in the ways of the Lord. But I'm just telling you, good children don't just always turn out by accident. In the area of spiritual development, too many parents treat their kids like their automobile. They wait for the red light on the dashboard to light up, and then they take care of the problem. You can't just wait until there's an issue and then deal with it. That's reactive. Be intentional in training your children. They're not going to accidentally start tithing one day. Train them how to give. They're not going to accidentally start work. Train them how to worship. Train them in the ways of the Lord. Be the example and share with them your lessons. Your mom, your dad. I certainly don't want to come across as like an expert on anything because I'm not. I look back, and maybe you like me can look back, and it's like, how many opportunities have I missed? And now look, my kids are this old and this is going on. I should have done that back there. I've got those. Anybody else got those? And I've got some successes I can point to as well. Why don't you be intentional and let's have more successes in all areas and do better in all areas? Spiritual development operates like the principle of the harvest. You sow early, you reap later. You can't have a spiritual harvest the way some of you did your final exam. I'm just going to cram the night before. Can I see the crammers? I'm one. crammers. I'm just going to stay up all night and do it. Okay, fine. That may get you through school, but you can't treat your spiritual life like that. You can't treat the spiritual harvest like that. I'm just going to wait and do all my praying the night before. Listen, go back to children. Well-developed children, it's just not accidental. People go, wow, you were lucky. You got some good kids. God really stuck it to me. He gave me this one here. Satan's little brother. That was uncalled for. Let me get the notes. You know what? You can do all the right things, and there's still free will that can bite you. And there have been those cases where parents weren't so involved, and yet the kid turned out. There have been the exceptions. But the rule is you need to be intentional in the way that you raise your children. See, with ours, we didn't want to just, well, we want our children to go to church because we go to church. We did, but we wanted more than just church kids. I wanted them to be connected to church. I wanted them to be connected to ministry. I wanted them to be connected to serving. I wanted them to be connected to worship and giving and leadership. I don't want them just to be a church person. I want them connected and involved and engaged. And if you're going to want the same thing, you're going to help that to happen. You got to be intentional. Intentional living is on-purpose living. Most things that are worthwhile do not happen by accident. Growing old is automatic. Growing up is not. You don't grow in character by accident. You don't grow in integrity by accident. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. Anything left to itself goes downhill, goes decline, goes into ruin. Doesn't matter if it's your yard or your teeth. Anything that's ignored goes to ruin and destruction. Your teeth, your yard, your spiritual life, don't give it attention, it goes down. Your children, don't give them attention, they go down. Anything worthwhile is on a bit of an incline. It's uphill. If you just coast, you're going to go downhill. You have to put in the effort. So I want to give you 3 points. And here they are. I'm going to give them to you just right off the bat, and then we'll break them down. Number one, make a decision. Number two, toss your hat. Number three, stay with it. So we're talking about intentional living, and I want to use these 3 phrases here to help you be intentional about your intentional living. Did you get that? So if we're going to be intentional in the way that we live, we've got to make decisions. That's the first thing. Make a decision. See, some of you have some things that you need to make a decision on. There's some things that you need to start. There's some things that you need to stop. That starts with a decision. So make a decision. It starts here in the mind. Make a decision. But too often, that's exactly where it ends. We make the decision to go on the diet right after we finish the third enchilada. And we're sitting there at the table. Ooh, that was good. Looking forward to starting my diet tomorrow. It's easy to say when the belly's full, isn't it? See, we make a decision. Many of you have made a good decision at the table. And before you got up from the table, that decision was already gone. See, it starts in the mind, but it's got to go further than that. I'm going to give you a phrase for each one of these as well. The phrase for this one is live by decision and not by default. To live by default, that's failure to act. It's inaction. It's neglect. It's doing nothing. And you get the natural result of nothing when you do nothing. So live by decision and not by default. When you live by decision, you set boundaries. When you live by decision, you have convictions. You have priorities. See, when you live by decision, you can't just go and, oh, wow, I'm going to buy this boat. I'll call my wife on the way home and tell her. I don't know what kind of relationship y'all got. We don't have that kind. I'm going to give one example here when it comes to living by decision, when it comes to intentional living. You could put intentional and then instead of living, break it down. Intentional career, intentional work, intentional parenting, intentional dating. What area do you need to be intentional about instead of just reactive and whatever happens, happens? No, be intentional. I want to talk. I know this isn't primarily the dating crowd. We've got some younger here that date. And all you that are married should date. It should be your spouse. Just so you know, just want to clarify. We date too much before we're married, and then we date too little after we're married. Marriage is not about finding the right person as much as it is being the right person. I have said that statement at many weddings and in many sermons. Marriage is more than finding the right person. It's more about you being the right person. So ask yourself, here's a question. Are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? Did you get it? One more time. Are you the person? I got to read it because I might not have it. Are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? See, you're looking for a certain kind of person. Are you that kind of person for somebody out there that's looking for that kind of person? Are you looking for one kind of person, but you're not interested in being that kind of person yourself? So one more time, are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? It's a little bit hypocritical to want something in someone else that you're not willing to develop in yourself. So I want to read to you a story by Denise. And I took this from a book by Andy Stanley, true story. But I don't know Denise. But maybe you do. Denise shared this story at a small group meeting. Illustrates the importance of becoming the right person in a very unforgettable way. Denise grew up in a religious home. When she graduated from college, she moved to Atlanta and immersed herself in the dating culture. Her words were this: "You know, it's not that I quit believing what I used to believe. It's just that I kind of took all of that and put it on the back burner for a season. I decided when it came to dating and my relationship with guys, I really wasn't going to factor God into the mix. Before long, her lifestyle bore little trace of the religious values and morals she had been raised to embrace. Dating was just another form of entertainment. Guys came, guys went. There was guilt, but there were ways to deal with the guilt. She wasn't doing anything that everybody around her wasn't doing. There weren't any significant consequences. She even prayed occasionally. Life was actually pretty good. She developed some effective coping skills for those times when life wasn't so good. And then she met the right person. It happened at a friend's apartment complex during a party. An hour or so into the evening, a guy she'd never seen before walked in. And she knew immediately that it was somebody, or he was somebody that she needed to meet. Before the night was over, she managed to get herself introduced to Mitchell and his group of friends. In her words, he was the total package. Looks, personality, career, everything. Total package. A few minutes into the conversation, it became apparent that Mitchell was a Christian. And in a lifestyle sense, not just a cultural one. He was serious about his faith. Even in a social setting, it was evident that faith was integral to every aspect of his life. Denise found this strangely appealing. It surfaced those things she had put in a box for later. Denise left the party determined to find a way to cross paths with Mitchell again. The following weekend, Denise drove home to visit her family. On Saturday afternoon, she was talking with her mom while folding clothes. It wasn't long before her encounter with Mitchell surfaced. She went on and on about his looks, his job, his maturity. Before she realized it, she began talking about his faith, specifically how central it was to his life and lifestyle. "Mom," she said, "he's like a real Christian. He's the kind of guy I've been looking for." Denise said it was at that point in the conversation that her mom put down what she was doing, looked up at her daughter Denise and said, "Sweetheart, the problem is a guy like that isn't looking for a girl like you." "Ouch, Mom." Denise said she literally fell to the floor in a puddle of tears and cried and cried and cried. Her mom was right. There was no denying it. This was a defining moment for Denise as a single woman. in a flash. The values, beliefs, and childhood faith she had put on the back burner flooded her soul. She was overwhelmed with who she had allowed herself to become. So in that moment, she decided to become the type of person the person she was looking for was looking for. And in that moment, she decided to change everything that wasn't aligned with who she wanted to be. By her own admission, there was a lot that needed changing. Priorities, values, friendships, where she would and wouldn't go, who she would and wouldn't go with. In other words, Denise became intentional. So, are you the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? You have to be intentional about becoming that person. In the Strong's Concordance, if you don't know what that is, it's just a study tool or resource, and you can find out what the words in your Bible, you can find out in the original language when they were written what those words mean in their root. And the word for definition, one of the definitions for a decision is a threshing sledge having sharp teeth. Think about it. When you see the word decision in your Bible, it refers to a sledge, a cutting tool that has sharp teeth. Illustrate it this way. Some of you, you've got dogs and you know what? You take a rag or a towel and throw it out there and that dog will latch onto that thing. How many of you got the dog that will not let go and you can just drag him across the floor? How many of you got the dog that holds so tight you can pick him up and just swing him around? Don't do that. That dog won't let go. That's the kind of decisions we need to make on some issues. There are some issues we need to sink our teeth into it. And we need to decide with more than just, yeah, that's a pretty good idea, I'm going to do that. No, you need to be more intentional with your decision. You need to hang on to it the way that a dog would hang on to an old rag. We need to put teeth in our decisions concerning our marriage. Some of you need to put teeth in your decisions concerning your marriage. Concerning your children, you need to put some teeth in that. Concerning your spiritual life, your relationship with the Lord, you need to put some teeth in that. Step number one, make a decision. Make a decision, but make a real decision. Not from here, but from the heart, not just the head. Second point, toss your hat. Here's what I mean by this. President Kennedy learned something about commitment from a man by the name of Frank O'Connor, an Irish writer. The Irishman told of his childhood days when he and his friends would wander through the countryside of their homeland. When they would come to an orchard with a wall that was too high to climb over, they would toss their hats over the wall so that they would have no choice but to figure out how to get over. Basically, tossing your hat is when you do something that is significant, that supports the decision you just made. See, it's easy to make the decision, but now what can you do to support that decision? How can you toss your hat? And here's the phrase I want to give you for this one. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. If you've been to our house, we've got an open area. The dining area, the kitchen, and the piano over here, and the living room. Everything just open. No walls. Wasn't always that way. There was a wall. It's gone. And then there's another wall over here, and it's mostly gone. And so this house that had rooms became an open house. And here's the way it went down. We've been in that house 20-plus years, and this wall there, and recliner sat right here, TV there, and I'd sit here, and I'm right by the wall. And Teresa came in one day. This is the way she does it. Wouldn't it be nice if that wall wasn't there? What? This wall is supporting stuff. It's nice that the wall is there. Without the wall, we'd be flat. Well, I think we could do a beam or something. She's very good about dropping seeds. You want something to eat? Okay, we were talking about the wall. She's working me. Next week, you know, if that wall wasn't there, we could probably do this and this. And I thought, wow, I've always wanted to do that. I don't know how long it went on. She played me. But eventually, I went from, there's no way we can do a wall, to thinking about, wow, that would be nice. I wonder if we could do a wall. I called my friend, who's a builder. Hey, I need you to come look at something. And I knew we could do the wall. If we had to have a beam in the middle of the floor, we could do the wall. Finally, I wanted the wall gone. So she was gone. And I decided in my mind, I made the first step. I decided, we're taking that wall down. That's the easy part, making a decision. Now I needed to toss my hat. She was gone. I don't know where. I went and got my hammer. And I went up to the wall. And I just, bam, put a big hole in it. I thought, man, and I want you to know that felt pretty good. All the times I wanted to hit the wall and couldn't hit the wall, I started thinking about that. Man, I just started going to town on that wall, and I probably put, I don't know, a couple of dozen holes in the wall. Big holes. And then I put my hammer up, and I sat down in the recliner and watched TV. My job was done. I'd tossed the hat. I got to do it now. I wasn't going to do it then. I was just going to let her come home and see that her wall's messed up. She came home. She wasn't mad. She wasn't mad at all that I had destroyed the wall. She knew that I'd made her decision. And in fact, I have done something to support my decision. I've made it not easy, not impossible, but not easy to go back. If you come to our house now, there is no wall. You just have to toss your hat. You got to do something to support your decision that forces you to follow through. Years ago, many wasn't even married. I just decided I wanted to play guitar. I knew how to read music. I could take music and figure out the notes on the piano and on the guitar. I could figure it out. And so I bought a guitar and I had a book and I worked on it and I got tired and I quit working on it and I'd work on it. I don't know. I practiced probably a good 15, 20 minutes a week. I wasn't putting in enough time to make any progress. I couldn't motivate myself to practice. My fingers were hurting and I forget it. So you know what I did? See, I'd already decided I'm going to play guitar, but my decision's wavering. I went up to Brazosport College, and I signed up for the guitar class, introductory guitar, and I paid the money to play the guitar and go through the class. You know what happened when I paid the money? It forced me to learn to play the guitar, because I don't like money to go to waste. So I played myself. I worked on it myself, and I tossed my hat by signing up for the course, and it forced me to learn how to play guitar. And you know what? I learned how to play guitar. How big a decision was that? You don't play now. You're right. I think it was a pretty big decision. My son plays guitar. And the fact that he plays, a lot of that's because I was playing guitar. Oh, he's well beyond me. Maybe he would have learned anyway, Pastor. Maybe he would have. But you don't need to underestimate the decisions that you're making. So toss your hat. Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. Remember, the secret of getting ahead is getting started. When I put the holes in the wall, that took 15 minutes. That was a very small beginning, but do not despise small beginnings. That is the thing that is going to cause that decision to finish out. There is something mental about getting started. Instead of dreading the project, get started. And don't let the deadline be your motivator. It is so easy to put it off, and oh, wow, it's due tomorrow. Now I'm motivated because of a deadline. There is something that works in our mind, though. If we could just get started, it does something that helps. It doesn't have to be big. Just toss the hat in some significant way. I know all about, I told you I'm a crammer. How many of y'all can raise your hand with me on this one? I can do the 10-page research paper in about 10 hours. She gave you 3 months to work on it, and you did it all in one night. Yeah, but I got a B+. Okay. But in other areas of your life, it's not going to pay off well. It's going to hurt you. Wouldn't it have been better to just, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to toss my hat. I'm going to go buy the index cards and put them here. And about once, a couple a day, I'm going to write an index card. And just going to work on it a little here, a little there. Don't despise small beginnings. One more example. This was shared by a children's church pastor. They would have their class. You know, with children, you don't just get up there and preach. You know that, right? You got to have illustrations. You got to have stories. You got to have games. There's got to be some fun. And we have fun back there. So he done all that. The class is over. Now he's cleaning up and he's putting up. And he's putting this back and he's putting that back. And he's putting the last thing he would do, he would take his lesson book. But before he closed it and put it on the shelf, before he closed it, he would just turn the page to the next week's lesson. Look at the title. Look at the scripture verse. Then he would close the book, put it on the shelf. What did he do? He got started. That scripture is now in his mind. The topic is now in his mind. Instead of waiting till Saturday afternoon to run back to the church, open the book, and figure it all out. The key to getting ahead is getting started. Toss your hat after you make your decision. Then number three, the decision. It's not too difficult. Tossing your hat, not too difficult. Here we go. Stay with it. Putting holes in the wall was pretty easy. I enjoyed it. The rest after that had some enjoyment too, but wasn't easy. See, you can't stop there. You got to finish the task. You got to stay with it. You've made the decision. You've done something to support the decision. Now you got to hang in there until it's done. Some of you, you go on the diet. That's the decision. You do something to support the decision. So you go home to the pantry and you throw away the Oreos. There you go. Now you got to stay with it. You can't go to HEB and buy more Oreos. All right, here's a statement for this one. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. I stole that from John Maxwell. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. It's a cinch by the inch and a trial by the mile. My research paper was always a trial because I always waited. Don't underestimate the importance of your daily routine. How many of you have heard of Chuck Swindoll? Chuck Swindoll, I should have looked up how many books he's written now, but he has written more books than probably, I want to say, most people have read. How is that? Well, he said this: I type for 1 hour every day. The secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. He types for an hour on a daily basis. The secret of your success is hidden in your daily agenda. What you do on a regular basis makes the difference in your life. One more quote by John Maxwell. He said this: intentional living is the key to transformation, and it begins with you. We sang that song, Revival, Let It Begin With Me. Yeah, I sang it. I'm available. That's reactive. Why don't you do something? If it wants to begin with you, why don't you start by getting up in the morning and just have a little time with Him? Be intentional about that revival starting with you. What else could you be intentional about? Let's get away from the spiritual things. Maybe some of you need to be more intentional with your children, with your marriage, with your job, whatever it is. Maybe the Lord has dropped something in your heart and you just keep waiting for it to happen. I'm waiting for the door to open. Well, be intentional. Go open the door. Question for you before we pray. Is there one thing that you could change in your life that would lend itself to more intentional living? See, I want you to think about that. Is there one thing that when you leave here today, there's one thing that you could work on? You can make a decision, toss a hat, and then do the hard part. Stay with it. Stay disciplined. You know, maybe it's a little thing. For some of you, it might just be, I would just wish our kids and I were more connected. Are you eating dinner in front of the TV every night? Are you doing fast food all the time, most of the time? How about dinner at the table, sit around at the table, no devices? That would be a decision. Cook dinner. That would be tossing your hat. And then stay with it because you're going to have some kids that are like, what do you mean I can't have my phone for supper? How am I going to know my friends are eating for supper? Some of you have habits that are not good. They're not destroying your life, but you could do so much better and help yourself if you would just fix that. Some of you, it's your habit to run late everywhere you go. Make a decision. Set the alarm 15 minutes earlier. I already do that, Pastor. Make another decision to not hit snooze 4 times. We could go down the list. Where are some little things? I mean, we always think prayer and Bible and worship and the big things. Yes, marriage and yes. But what about just some little areas that might be getting the best of you? Think there as well. Don't just think way over there, but think here as well. What is a little thing that you could do that would change the way your life plays out? Remember, it's the daily agenda. So when you do it tomorrow and you don't see any results, don't be disappointed. Isn't it weird that we think that way? I've ran a mile 2 days in a row now. I can't tell. Yeah, one lap around the track ain't going to do it. It's the daily agenda. Stay with it. Stand up with me.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.